dating, how I thought one day they would use such opportunities to actually teach history or to teach us things rather than that kind of stuff. But every time you hear about ancient aliens, I just want you to think about what I'm going to tell you today and what Peter talks about. We are the aliens, and we were determined to be aliens from before eternity, right? Before creation. And that's where I get that title for us today. I'm going to look at 1 Peter, and what Peter does is he describes what God is doing in our lives. He describes what God is doing through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So you have a trinity of God at work in us. That's a good thing, right? That's a powerful thing, and it's a praiseworthy thing. So this is 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. This is a good description, isn't it? First of all, he describes us as aliens. An alien is someone who stays for a while in a place but is moving on, right? And I love that term for us. I think some translators translate it sojourner, like someone who's going through a territory. This is not my home. This is not my world. This is not my place. I'm an alien. I'm just going through. One of the things about alien people, right, and I'm talking about, immigrants and that kind of stuff, when they come to a new place, they usually don't speak the language very well, or they speak with a real bad accent, if it's the Irish or whatever. They don't necessarily understand the culture. They don't think the way the new culture thinks, and that's part of being an alien. And they probably have behaviors that the culture that they go to would think is a little peculiar. And that's what I like. That's why I like that term that Peter gives us as aliens. That's the way we should be. We shouldn't speak their language so much. We shouldn't have their same values and attitudes. We should see the world quite differently than those who are part of the unbelieving culture in which we live. And that's what he's talking about. When he talks about us being aliens, he's talking about believers living among unbelievers. The other thing I like is that he talks about being scattered. And the first thing that came to my mind was Jesus talking about the gospel and the word being scattered like seed. And I think about how God has people all over the place, like little, seeds, but we're able to preach or teach or talk about the word of God to friends wherever we land. So I like that picture of he's talking to a church that's spread out. But we are a chosen people. One of the things that makes us what we are is God chose us. I didn't choose God. I always tell you, right? I didn't call on God's name. He called on my name. Then I called back, right? We are chosen by God. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's where you get the idea of ancient, right? It says in other places that before the foundation of the earth, God knew us, God called us, God chose us. When you, and I try to tell kids this stuff, when I talk to people, I try to help them to understand. If you have a desire to be with God, if you have a desire to know God, that didn't start with you. That started with God, and that's God's plan from before he said, let there be light. That's God's plan. And it's such a great thing to understand that God's the one working. It's not me. I need God's help. That's why I love that Hosanna song. I told you it means, Lord, help us. Lord, save us. Lord, how many of us need God's help, right? Yeah, see, I got both hands up, right? Yeah, I need God's help. I need it so bad. And so I understand, though, that the reason why I know that is because God chose me. The reason why I know that God is able to help is because God chose us. He let us know that from way back. He works through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Love that. I was a non-Christian for a long time, 22 years. And I believed in Jesus. I believed the Bible. I read the Bible. I knew a lot about the Bible, but I didn't live the Christian life. I was powerless against sin. Jesus had not become my Savior. He had not become the one that basically stood me up. I was praying one summer and I was asking for God's help because I recognized how messed up I was. I recognized how bad I was and how much I needed God's help. And bit by bit, slowly, God began to help me. God began to lead me. But the best thing he did was he sent a brother into my life. Joe Reed. Joe came into my life and Joe started talking to me and he was all excited about how much I knew. He's like, brother, don't you see God wants to do something with you? But he took me to a little church. In that little church, there was a little guy, Elder Redwine, and he prayed for me and God absolutely changed my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it works in us. The Holy Spirit, you know, we can try to fight behaviors. We can try to change our language. We can try to become God's person. But the Holy Spirit does in a moment what all of our struggling can't do. God sanctifies us through the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. He makes us more like him. That's how you become an alien, right? You become holy. You start to think like God. You start to talk like God by the sanctifying power. And we start to want to obey Jesus Christ. You remember Matthew 28? We talked about being disciples. What are we supposed to do as disciple makers? Teach them to obey the commandments of Christ. That's what we want. We want to be his. We want to follow him. We want to listen to him. We want to learn to think the way he thinks and live the way he wants us to live. And we are sprinkled by his blood. That's a very powerful term. In the Old Testament, when Moses was instructed to build the tabernacle, and we're going to be talking about that in a couple weeks on Wednesday night, but he was instructed to build the tabernacle, and he told him to take a hyssop branch and dip it in water mixed with blood and sprinkle it. And they sprinkled everything. They even sprinkled the priests. They sprinkled everything with blood. That was a signification of purification, purifying power, and we get the real thing. That, as the book of Hebrews tells us, those animals, they can't cure sin. Those animals can't, you know, stop sin from happening, so they were offered over and over. But we are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when his blood was shed for us, it is the power to give us strength to overcome sin. It is a purifying power. We now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, stand righteous before Almighty God. It's the only way. It's the only way to become righteous before God. So Peter's describing what makes us different. What makes us be more like God? That we end up under the power of Christ, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the foreordination of God the Father. You see that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all at work in us to make us think differently, to make us see things differently, to make us experience this world differently. Think about that. That's what an alien does. An alien doesn't see it the way you do, right? I mean, you know, we see things differently. That's why when you turn on the news or you listen to people on radios, you say, you know, what are you talking about? They get so off. They get so far away from what really matters and what's really true. People try to make this their home. They try to, you know, gain power, gain money, gain prestige, right, in the world. Why? I'm passing through. You know, the most disappointing thing for someone who invests their entire being in the things of this world is the day they die, all their stuff is gone. Nothing. For us, the day I die, I'm just beginning. The day I die, that's when I get my inheritance. That's when I get to be with God and receive the full measure of his grace. He says, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. We're obedient disciples of Jesus, walking under the blood of Jesus Christ, the sanctifying power of the Spirit, according to God's eternal plan. Indeed, we are ancient aliens. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed, we use that a lot, don't we? We talk about, some of us, I explain here, we like to think of blessed as being with God. If God is with me, I don't care what my circumstances are, I'm blessed. If, you know, Paul's in a prison and he's praying with Silas, they're celebrating, singing hymns to the Lord. Why? Because God was with them, even in the prison, right? You know, he said, I was cold and hungry and poor. Didn't matter. God was with him. It didn't matter. He said, I don't measure myself by what I have or what I don't have. I am strengthened by the one who strengthens me. I'm strengthened by the presence of God in my life. But this word is different. It really means blessed is our Lord in the sense of he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of glory and honor and power. Why? Because of all the great things he's done, all that he's doing, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. That's a term John likes to use in the gospel. He talks about it in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 12. He says that he's talking about Christ had authority to create children. Children of God, not children born by the will of man or by man, but by the will of God. That's what it means to be born again. He told Nicodemus in chapter 3, he said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit, life-giving Spirit, the power of God inside of us, the power of Christ working in us, creating a whole new destiny for us. Creating a whole new purpose for us. We're not normal people. We shouldn't be normal people. We should be people that have the purpose of God in our heart. We should be the people that have a destiny that God has planned for us in our heart. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what makes us strangers in the world. We have a living hope. Why? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why my hope's alive. My hope's alive, right? I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe that his holy presence is with us. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is there, right? Jesus rises from the dead, and that's also a signification that we too will rise from the dead. That's a living hope. My journey doesn't end at the end of this life. My journey doesn't end in darkness and nothingness, as some would tell you. My journey ends with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I have a hope that says, one day I'm going to rise up. One day I'm going to see the absolute glory of God. One day to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Paul talks about even the change of our bodies. He says the corruptible must take on incorruption. The mortal must take on immortality. There has to be a transformation. Now, how do we know that? It's because it's happening in us now. That's how we know it will happen then. As God is working in us, as God is moving in his Holy Spirit, and he's leading us to think like him, to see the world the way he sees it, to behave more as he would want us to behave, to be his people, that's a signifier that we are going to be raised from the dead and we are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to receive this great treasure. Amen. Jesus said it's a treasure. Treasure out in a field, and a man that finds it will sell everything to be a part of it. That's how aliens see it. That's how we see it. I see the kingdom of heaven as a treasure. I haven't seen it, but I believe it, and I believe that God has got it for us. So then this line, he says, it's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith. You know, you must understand whatever's going on in this world, right? We are protected. We have a God that looks at us. You know, he knows you better than you know yourself. Paul said, I can't judge myself. God knows me better than I do. God knows really the depth of who I am. God knows the number of hairs on our head. God knows when a sparrow falls. God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows you. He cares for you. He loves you. He hears you. He will answer you. God is your protector. As we go through this life, we have to understand that, folks, that God is watching out for us. He's keeping us. God is the one who will get me through the wilderness. God is the one who will get me through the desert of this life. God is the one who will protect me every step of my sojourning journey. God's with me. I told you last time, His rod and his staff, they comfort me, right? Why? The staff guides me. Don't go that way, go this way. That's what it's for. A shepherd uses a staff. The club is for the enemy. It's for the bear. It's for the wolf. It's for the roaring lion. That's what Peter later says about the devil. He's like a lion looking for someone to devour. The Lord has a staff in his hand, and he's got a club in his hand. The rod is for the lion, and in the lion, he will tell, don't you come near mine. Don't you come near mine. He will put that thing down, right? God protects us. So he's talking about we're protected. What's being protected about us? I believe in God. That's what he said, protected through faith. I believe in God for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. How many of you think you're saved? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many think you're being saved? How many think that one day you'll actually be saved? Because that's what he's talking about here. We're in the process of being saved. The day that we raise up from the dead, the day that we enter into the kingdom of God, the day that he transforms our lowly bodies to have bodies like his, that's the day we're actually saved. But we're in the process. We're being saved. And it's by faith. And God protects us to keep that. So listen to this. Praise God, right? This is how Peter describes what God is doing in our lives. He chose us from eternity. God chose you from eternity. He sanctifies you by the Holy Spirit. He purifies us by the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. He gives us spiritual birth, a new life to the obedience of Christ. He protects his little aliens. He watches out for us. He cares about us. He prepares a perfect place for us to inherit, right? All of this basically forms God's plan, his gospel. It's like Ephesians 1. You know, this is Peter's understanding of salvation for us. It's not what I did, it's what God did. And God does everything. Listen, if it's up to me, I can mess it up. If it's up to me, I can falter, I can fail, I can stumble and fall. But if it's up to God, the one who began something good in us will carry it through all the days of our life, and it will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. It's by faith. Amen. It's by faith. In the Ephesians text and here, the only thing that he says about us is we believe. We believe in Jesus. And this is what he tells us now. In this you greatly rejoice. I rejoice in Jesus Christ. I rejoice even though now for a little while, if necessary, I like the if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. I've been at this for a while. I've walked with the Lord. I've learned to praise God in good times. I thank God for all the good things that he brings into my life, family and children, grandchildren. I thank God for all of that. I thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ who love and care and you know, work to maintain the strength of the body of Christ. I'm thankful for provisions that God has given through the years. But I've also watched my parents die. And I've also gone through times where people try to attack us. I've been through times of poverty and times of having more than I need, right? I've learned, though, to praise God no matter what, because God is always worthy of praise. God is always worthy of worship. He's always doing good for us. He's always there. And so, you know, we rejoice even though sometimes it's not so easy, even though sometimes it's hard, even though sometimes it seems like the world's against us, it seems like, you know, health is against us or whatever. There's so many different possible problems. But God is always worthy of praise. I've never been in this place. And through all the years I've been here, sometimes it's with tears. And sometimes it's just with great joy. But I've always been able to praise God. I've always been able to thank God. Because God is always God. And he's always at work. That first section that we looked at, he's always doing those things. So that the proof of your faith, what does that prove? When I can praise God in the middle of hard times, it proves I believe in God. When I can praise God when things are going well, but I don't get carried away with it, it proves that I believe in God. when I can live my life in this world, not as the world does and not loving the world as the world does, but loving it as God does. God wants to see people get saved. God wants to see people come to Christ. God wants people encouraged in their walk with God, right? All of these things prove our faith more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory of honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think of this. All the work that God is doing and all the endurance that we go through, and God is with us every step of the way, and we're praising God, we're worshiping God, and then we have to say, to whose credit, to whose glory? The glory of Jesus Christ. When all the saints who have ever been blessed to know Jesus Christ, and all those who have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and all those who have been born again under the power and plan of God, when we all stand together at the end of the day and we see Jesus, the glory of that day all belongs to Him. Because not one of us would stand without Him. Not one of us would be there without Him. And what a glorious day that will be, right? But, he says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that something? You know, one of the things about this plan that God gives us, it's not just words. Words are part of it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Words are part of it. God's words are part of it. God's words help us to understand who he is, help us to understand who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit communicates to us. You know, I know Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit testifies to me. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ died on a cross. And you can do all the science stuff you want about historical Jesus or any of that nonsense. I tell you, God has communicated to us that Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. And Jesus Christ is sitting in the throne with God Almighty right now. I believe all that. I know all that. Because God has communicated to it. We haven't seen him, though. Not physically yet. Not there. He says, you haven't seen him, but you love him. Do you love Jesus? Whenever we talk about husband and wife, you know, wives submit to your husband. He says, as the church submits to Christ. You put that in there. Do you have a hard time submitting as a Christian to Jesus Christ? No, because he loves you, he cares for you, he watches over you, all those good things, right? And he says that's what a husband's supposed to be to the wife. A husband should be such a good Christian person. The wife would have no trouble submitting to that. That's what it is. We don't have trouble submitting to Jesus Christ. I want to submit to him. I want to obey him. I want to love him as much as I know him. I want to. He says you haven't seen him, but you love him. Says, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, right? We still believe. One of the things that separates us from the world is our faith in Christ, our dependence upon the word of God, our understanding of what God is about and what he's doing, the praise that we offer week in and week out, not because we sing so good or play so well, but because God is so worthy of praise and glory and honor. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. He goes on to explain to us that this plan, this work of God was told in the Old Testament. We're going through the Old Testament on Wednesday, and so much of it is about Christ. So much of what is done there is about Christ. It all leads to Christ. It's all Christocentric, right? We are God's chosen aliens from beginning or before time. We belong to God because of his great work for us. We stand in faith, believing in Jesus and loving him. Isn't God good to us? Isn't God good to us? Let's praise the Lord one more time and give thanks.